This episode of the Infamous Podcast is brought to you by the Flying Pork Apparel Company.
The Flying Pork Apparel Company is an awfully long name to fit into a 15-second ad. We're most likely going to have to cut it short, but our designer tees and customer services are like way long on quality. Visit flyingporkapparel.com and shirt yourself, folks. Thank you.
Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is Brian, bronchitis free this week and still COVID-19 free since 1977. And with me today, as always,
Daryl.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, Tiger Blood.
Yay, Tiger Blood. All right. So this week we are talking the state of the U.S., I guess the worldwide box office, really, but mainly the U.S. box office. We are reviewing Season 3, Episode 3, the Absence of Field of Westworld, and we are talking a little Tiger King. You ready to get into it?
I'm ready.
All right. Before we get started, I want to do this at the top of the show. If you haven't heard, I was on the Everything is Permitted podcast last week. We were talking about the Picard season one and the series season finale. So go check that out. And then we talked about some of our favorite movie scores of all time. And it was a really fun conversation. And Matt and Brittany and Julian are great. So you guys should definitely go check their podcast out. And while I have you at the top of the show, if you want to help us out in these trying times, check out our Patreon. That would be great. Or better yet, check out our merch store. It's infamouspodcast.com. Just hit shop and it will take you to the Flying Pork Apparel page with all of our shirts. And if you can, definitely pick one up. So, yeah. All right. Now, on to the show. So, I always leave that stuff till the end, right? And I always forget about it and stuff. Oh, last thing. We're on iHeartRadio now. So, if your friends use iHeartRadio and they want to listen, you can let them know that they can listen on that if that is their app of choice. Okay, now I'm ready to talk. All right. So you texted me with this really interesting point about the movies, the movie industry, and what's going on, and it got me really thinking about some things. But you had some thoughts on the Oscars. Where were you going with that?
Yeah. So the way to start. Well, I've always been thinking about this, but I had a conversation. One of my coworkers, you know, I work remotely. Even before all this, I'm a remote, you know, work remotely. lovely thing to do.
Yeah.
And one of my coworkers is in the New York, New Jersey area, and we were talking about all of this and about movies and stuff like that because I'm the movie guy. And she mentioned a movie called In the Heights. That was filmed in the Heights around, you know, in and around New York.
Yeah, it's based off the Lin-Manuel play of the same name.
Right. And because we were talking about movies and streaming and stuff like that, and she brought that up. And my thought was, and because she said they were pushing it back the release date. And this made me think, okay, like what are the decisions about release dates versus just smaller movies? Because this seems like a smaller movie. I'm not sure about the budget or anything like that. I know it's, you know, a Broadway type deal. However, I was saying that's something I would think would almost be primed for a video on demand release. However, then I thought about it and said, well, if it's something that's going to be contending for an Oscar for, because I'm assuming, I think it's a musical, for something along those lines, and the Oscars, there's the stipulations where it has to be play in New York and LA for at least a 2-week run or something along those lines to actually be able to be put in the Oscar category.
It's got to play in at least one theater in one of those two cities for 2 weeks.
Right.
Which is bullshit.
I think we talked about that before.
We have talked about this, yeah.
But I just thought about that. And again, I don't think that's going to be a big deal, but it was just one of those things that just kind of, I never thought of it that way, how that will affect the Oscars. And I mean, we all know the box office for the year is just going to be kaput. I mean, even if things clear up in the next, you know, month or so, and then it's going to still take a few months for certain people to feel comfortable going out. Some people might not even feel comfortable going out at the end of the year. So I think you're going to see a definite hit, even if we get the all okay, even if we get you know, a vaccine or whatnot, I still think there are going to be a certain sect of people that are just not going to go out to theaters for a while. And especially with some of the smaller movies, I think, like, you know, was it last week or the week before, how Universal released The Hunt, Emma, and what was the other one that they released?
Invisible Man.
Invisible Man. But, I mean, they did that in a $20 for a 48-hour rental, which is pretty ridiculous. And I think we mentioned that a little bit last week.
Right.
Unless you have a house full of people, which is, it's not bad, but still it's a little ridiculous. I can wait until it comes on sale and buy it for $20, usually $14 a movie like that.
Yeah, like Onward is on that same thing right now, the Pixar movie, where you can rent it for $20. But it's going to hit Disney Plus tomorrow. It's like, you know, so on April 3rd. So why would I have rented that when I could just you know stick it out for another 2 weeks? I mean, like, Harley Quinn got released early for $20, which I bought. The Way Back, the Ben Affleck movie, got released early, which I bought. You know, so I'm trying.
Got released early.
Yeah, which I had pre-ordered. So, but
Bloodshot got released early.
I still haven't forgiven you for that. So, but yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I mean, but it, like, let's just say one of these Oscar bait movies, right? How about you don't wait? Like, if it's ready to go, release it now. And you know, the Oscars need to lighten up about their restrictions or their rules a little bit, not just in the instance of this pandemic, but overall. Because I tell you what, nobody's going to go out and watch these Oscar bait movies when they open theaters back up. They're going to see Top Gun. They're going to see, you know,
Black Widow.
Wonder Woman
1984.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to these, like, the popcorn movies are going to do really well when people get back because of the escapism. We've had 3 weeks in a row now with a $0 U.S. box office. The first time it happened was the first time the U.S. box office, since its inception, had a $0 weekend.
Jeez.
I mean, it's really interesting to think about, right? For the year, the worldwide numbers are super, super low. I mean, right now, Bad Boys for Life is the number one grossing movie with $418 million worldwide, $204 million domestic. Now, this is a movie that should have made, I mean, realistically, I think, like, the downside of that was $800 million. It might have made $1 billion just because it's Will Smith and it's, you know, a long awaited trilogy there. Looking at it, it's devastating what the box office is right now. Like Doolittle, like Robert Downey Jr., $221 million worldwide box office, $77 million of that is domestic. Invisible Man, $125 million, $64 million domestic, $60 million international. So, you know, I mean, it's like there's been movies like Onward, Pixar movie, only $102 million because it had one weekend in the box office. I mean, there are for 2020, there are 29 movies that were released so far. And, you know, as far as, like, things that are considered wide releases. It's just, I mean, some of these don't even have a domestic box office. It's just, like, some of the stuff just opened overseas. It didn't get to its domestic release yet. So, yeah, you make a really, really good point, right, about how do they have to change? What do they have to do? I've been a proponent for a long time that they need to start running the movie industry like the video game industry.
Yeah, explain that, because you mentioned that before. I think you mentioned it in a text or something like that to me last week.
I think it was a couple weeks ago. But yeah, when these video games come out, right? I mean, they sell them for $50 a pop. They make billions of dollars. But, like, there's all this lead up. There's, like, you know, they do betas, they do all this, like, stuff for the gaming community, right?
Right.
the trailers and test screenings and things like that are really, for movies, are really set to a select group of people. And I think if you adopted sort of that beta testing mentality, like, hey, we have a movie, let's grab a cross section of iTunes users and put it out there and be like, hey, for $4.99, you can test screen this movie. You can't download it. You have to stream it, you know, like that sort of thing, to help starting to build buzz for some of these movies, especially some of these like really good, like lower budget movies and things that come out. And then when they come out, it's released in the theater, but you release a video on demand at the same time to purchase for $30.
Right.
I, for one, would almost, and I'll be quick, and I, for one, would probably 7 out of 10 movies take that deal, because I'm spending $30 anyway for two of us to go see it.
Right. I actually think that's a really good idea. I really like that $4.99 or whatever price point they want to make it for, you know, select people to, you have to stream it, then, you know, give us feedback. I really like that idea.
And you opt in to be in part of that program, and it's not some like gated ivory tower that you have to have, like, you know, part of, like, you know, being a critic, you know, so you don't have to write. You just have to, like, maybe you don't want to write about movies on a website, right? But you want to give feedback. You can do that, and you have surveys, and you do things like that, and you can test things, and then you don't get stuck with things like, Martha, why did you say that name? You know, like, why? Like, that should have never made it to screen.
That still makes me cringe every time I hear that.
And if you,
every time,
if you had a chance to perfect your movie before it goes out, right? And right. I mean, they're doing these test screenings months in advance of the release. Like, it's going to build a better groundswell for people who want to go and experience the theater.
And Batman v Superman is actually the perfect example for this, because that is a movie which, if you watch the theatrical cut versus the ultimate edition, it's a totally different movie. Yes, it still has Jesse Eisenberg as a terrible Lex Luthor.
You mean the Riddler?
Yeah, and it has the stupid Doomsday thing. But a lot of the small plot points that were – there were so many plot holes in the theatrical cut. And then I see the ultimate cut, and in the first 5 minutes I'm saying, why didn't they put this in there? That's a perfect example of streaming the ultimate cut, or streaming, you know, the director's cut of a movie, and then asking people, you know, having conversations like, what worked, what didn't work, instead of cutting it down because, you know, we have to get it under 2 hours and 20 minutes because we want it to show on many theaters as possible. And then also, I think your point about that $30 for, you know, you video on demand as it releases, that could alleviate some of that too, that need to have it shown as many times as possible. And that might hopefully alleviate some of that.
Right. And that counts towards the box office. You have that first weekend. It all goes towards that, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Theaters are going to get less of a cut, but I tell you what, based on what's happening in the world right now, like you said, there are people who are not going to go to the theater. The way seating in the theaters are right now, it's going to have to fundamentally change. They're going to have to space people out.
Right.
Right? So this is a way that everybody gets to go. The people who are going to movies are still going to go to movies. The people who need to find babysitters so they don't have to take their screaming little babies to movies are going to then be able to get to see that movie right away. And they're going to have to pay premium price to do that. But think of the cost. So you go on a date. I know you don't date a lot, but you go on a date and you go to a movie. You're paying, you know, between $11 and $21 for a ticket to a movie, depending on the type of theater you're going to. You're paying, you know, between $10,000 and $475,000 for a small tub of popcorn, depending on the theater that you go to. you have to pay to park in some cases. You have to pay, if you have kids, you have to pay for a sitter. That's like another $100, you know? And so if you can take the financial aspect out of everything else that goes into that opening weekend, you're still going to get a theater full of people in the new reality of more spaced out seatings. You're still going to have sellouts. You're going to be able to charge a little bit more for that theater experience.
Yep.
You're still going to make your concessions, but you are then not having to wait 90 to 120 days to rent something or watch it, whatever, watch it at home. But you sell it for $30 and you buy it. You own it then, right?
Yeah, and like you said, the tentpole movies, you know, the Black Widows, I guess because of its success, I could put something like A Quiet Place too. The Bond movies, Top Gun, which got pushed back. I saw that. It got pushed back to December.
It got pushed back to December, and Ghostbusters got pushed back to 2021.
Along with Morbius and the Fast and Furious 15 or 16 or whatever it is.
Fast and Furious 598. I think it's Fast 9, right? It's number 9.
Yeah. and Wonder, those movies are still, especially because you made an interesting point about the escapism. With all this crap going on, I know I'm going to be opening weekend on all those movies. Other movies, you know, some of the other movies, like, for example, I kind of wanted to see Invisible Man. We talked about that, but that wasn't a movie that was going to necessarily get me out and get me in the theater.
See, I was going to go see that in the theater, and then everything happened.
Right.
But I'm not paying $20 to rent it for 48 hours.
No way. Absolutely.
One, Invisible Man is my favorite Universal movie monster, so I would 100% buy that for $20.
Oh, I would have bought it for $20 because it just looked really interesting.
I bought Birds of Prey, in the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn in the Four Jabronis that join her on the trip through madness.
Cassandra Cain.
If you want to call her Cassandra Cain, you can. That's not Cassandra Cain, but sure. I will say, just real quick, I did love Mary Elizabeth Winstead as Huntress.
The reviews I heard about that movie, she wasn't in it enough.
No, she was in it the perfect amount for how her character was. And Margot Robbie is just an amazing Harley Quinn.
So before we move on, one thing I was thinking about this late last night, is, you know, we're talking about the movies, and like you said, this is going to have to fundamentally change. It's kind of funny because over the last few years, movie seats have been getting bigger with a little bit more space in between them. So they might, you know, there might be more remodels in the future for that. But what about, and again, this might be a topic for next week. What about comic shops and how the comic book industry is being affected by this?
So the comic book industry is really interesting right now because Diamond Distribution is the company that distributes all comic books to all stores that sell comics. So your local comic book shop, Walmart, Kroger, whoever sells comics on a newsstand, you know, and they order comics, they get them from Diamond. Diamond is not putting out anything right now. Everything's on hold. So no new comics are coming out during this time. The one thing that was the concern was digital, because the publishers were going to put the digital comics out still each week. But then they decided to hold back. So right now, the comic book industry is in a holding pattern. There's nothing new coming out, which has been kind of a nice thing because I don't know if you remember that stack of like 30 comics I had like that was ever growing sitting in the corner of my desk. I read them all. So, you know, I'm all caught up other than the Marvel digital stuff that I have. But I've been catching up and rereading Invincible at the same time. The nice thing is the comic book shops aren't spending money on new stuff that they're not going to be able to sell.
Okay.
The bad thing is they're not getting new stuff in, but, you know, I know like Queen City Comics, like you can call and make an appointment to come in by yourself and pick up your file, search for back issues, you know. So I imagine other comic book stores are doing that as well.
Okay.
So I think as far as like a retail industry, comic books have pretty good margins. So most comic book stores who are doing well, like comic book stores, like, Queen City Comics here is doing well. Up, Up and Away, they do well. I'm sure those two are fine. Rockin' Rooster is probably another local Cincinnati one, but like Arcadian, which is down by your house, I fully expect, like, you know, we always get an annual, we're going out of business post on Facebook, please support us. I fully expect them to fold in this instance. And, you know, while the guys who run the shop are great, their shop smells like a mix of weed and cat pee. So, you know, I don't like buying books from there because they smell like weed and cat pee. So yeah, it's one of those things where, as an industry, it's had the pause button hit. So, and then, you know, there will be government programs that, you know, they'll be able to take a, you know, into account to build capital back up so they can buy new issues and things like that. So,
okay.
You know, at the end of the day, is it ideal? Absolutely not. But I know, like, this weekend, I'm going to make an appointment and go down. You know, I think things like hairdressers are probably getting hit way worse than anybody else right now, right?
Man.
They're not allowed to have people come to them. They're not allowed to go to people, you know, under you know, the threat of losing their license, their cosmetology license. So yeah, I mean, I know I'm in desperate need of a haircut, and, like, I've had two appointments canceled now, so...
Getting wild over there.
It's not wild. It's just getting fuzzy.
Yeah, I haven't. I need. It's funny. I was talking to somebody. I was like, I need to trim my hair. Which, again, I have clippers, so I can. I cut my own hair, so that's. I don't have a problem with that. But yeah, you're right. Like, people, this, the hairdresser and you know, the nail industry, like, just that health and beauty industry as a whole is just being hit. Being hit hard.
Oh yeah.
So but, like, back to the comic thing, that I, because, you know, I'm not into comics like you are. I'm definitely not. I've done digital, but that's one of those things, like, because I'm almost all digital with the books I get. I'll get a hard copy book here and there from Half Price Books or something like that. But, like, for comics, I always you know, especially with the graphic novel or the, you know, the trade paperback or whatever, I want the physical copy of it.
Yeah, you want that tactile.
So I'm glad you said
that
about how you can make appointments and stuff like that. Because like I said, that was one of those things that just popped into my head. It's like thinking, like, I wonder what Brian would think of this, and because, you know, you have much more of an in.
I mean, I probably do, like, 35% of my comics are digital at this point. But, like, you know, it was a much higher number than that. But, like, Walking Dead ended. I stopped reading that. Obviously, it ended. Invincible ended. I stopped reading that. There's a couple of books I just kind of gave up on. There's some things that I only buy digital collection trade paperbacks, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I still buy all my current books and, you know, like the Avatar graphic novels, Avatar The Last Airbender graphic novels, you know, hard copy and enjoy them and share them and that sort of thing. So yeah, everybody's having a hard time right now. I just think the people who are responsible for the publishing and distribution of comic books are doing a really good job taking care of the people who are most responsible for them getting books in the hands of people.
Yeah, that's good to hear. And on that note, I did see that as of now, Comic-Con is still on in July.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Gym City locally was just canceled, which that show was coming up soon. So you've got the Ohio Toy and Comic Show in July around the same time as Comic-Con. So that one's still on at the moment. It really just depends. You know, I've seen people thinking this will last all the way through August, which is terrifying. Nobody will have jobs. So,
yeah, and I was about to say, you can't keep, and again, I don't want to go too deep into this. And I know people have strong opinions either way. And I understand why we're doing what we're doing. With that said, I also understand, because I'm not looking at it just from a health standpoint. I'm looking at it from economics, health and economic standpoint. And where's that balance of, you know, well, to quote Morbius, making the, you know, the cure worse than the disease.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you're going to run out of content, right? Like, yeah. There's not going to be new content written from the comic book industry. There's not going to be new movies made. If you start pushing everything back, you're not going to have anything to even put out at all. You're going to run out of TV shows.
Supernatural is going to get another quote unquote season. I know you think it ended at season 5, where, you know, cause they have to finish the last two episodes, and then the visual effects on, you know, the other ones they have in the can.
Right.
You know, I don't know about the Flash.
The Flash shut down production a long time ago. So, okay. And they weren't done filming. You know, I imagine like everything but Arrow is probably suffering from that, from the CW thing. You know, I like season 5 of The Expanse. What's going to happen with that?
Well,
that's what I'm most concerned about.
They're
because,
done filming, but you know, they have a lot of visual effects for that. So,
speaking of
the other shows, Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah. Yeah. All of those that haven't even come out yet. What's Disney Plus going to do? They're not going to have anything new. Well, they're going to lose subscribers.
From what I understand, it sounds like they're still on track. There's no announcements. I know that Falcon and Winter Soldier, they canceled their some production in Prague. I don't know how big that was to the show. And you know, man, like you told me a couple weeks ago, Mandalorian's done in the can.
Yeah.
I don't know if they still need to do a lot of visual effects.
Yeah, I mean, they have a ton of visual effects. So, yeah, I don't know. It's really interesting. Like, you know, at some point, like some of these things, like let's use wrestling for an example. WrestleMania is supposed to be this weekend. Like if you're listening to this on Sunday, there's a second night of WrestleMania happening tonight. You know, this was supposed to be WrestleMania weekend where all these indie shows were going to happen and WrestleMania and NXT TakeOver and all of that. And it's obviously not happening. And, you know, WWE, they have one more episode of Raw in the can, but then what do? Like, they're in Florida. They're not allowed to go to work. So, you know, they're going to have to dig into their catalog and start, you know, airing documentaries and things like that. That's on the WWE network on USA. They can do that. You look at AEW, right? They're in a much different situation. They're a brand new company. They don't have 50 or 35, 40 years of content to pull forward.
Yeah. And so, yeah, there's going to have to be some decisions made if things don't turn a corner within the next couple weeks. There's going to have to be just some decisions and some risks being taken, because like you said, there's only so much, you know, the economy can take
right
before it just completely flattens out.
Yeah.
And so you have to look at, like, okay.
Yeah, they talk about flattening the curve. Let's not, you know, kill that particular curve, you know.
Right. So, and I understand doctors, they're looking at one thing and one thing only. They're looking at it from a standpoint of health. But, and that's why when I kind of give people pushback on it, it's because I'm looking at it from a different perspective. I'm not looking at it from just people being affected, even though I know it can, you know, cause a major surge in the healthcare industry and all that stuff. I'm looking at the economic standpoint where there's, you know, it's, and again, it's that balancing act where I'm not wrong for thinking that. Again, it's not the end all be all. And as far as, you know, I'm going to say you're wrong, but it's also, it's just like you said, it's scary because as well as some of us have been, like, you know, I work from home. I've worked from home from the last 4 years. So nothing's really changed from my perspective.
Yeah. Like, have you seen those memes?
People,
have you seen those memes about, like, oh, I didn't realize my life was already quarantined? Like,
yeah.
That's you and I both. I mean, the only time I leave the house is to go to the gym or to meet people for lunch or to ride my one wheel now. Like, you know.
Right.
So, yeah. I don't know. You know, I think we, but, like, the movie industry kind of circling back, right? There are things that have to change with this particular industry. Like, we saw how they tried to do, like, the passes to go see as many movies as you want in a year, in a month or a week or whatever.
Right.
And that didn't work. They need to take a good hard look at the you know, apples to pears industry of the video game industry and say, okay, we need to start approaching things like this. Because everybody makes a big deal about, like, oh, Star Wars made $2 billion. You know what else made, like, $8 billion? The last Halo game.
Mm-hmm. Well, like you, every Call of Duty makes, what, $500, $600 million in the first two or three days of release.
Right.
So, yeah. And that's not even talking about, and I know movies don't have this, that's not even talking about the DLC and
right.
and some of the microtransactions.
Yeah, we don't want to go that far. We don't want microtransactions. But no, but I mean, like, as far like, as like...
To see this scene, you need to pay an extra $2.99.
Please deposit 25 cents.
But yeah, I'm really curious to see how this... Or if it can't, if it does change the movie industry for the better.
Yeah. And I think it's been an industry that is in dire need of a shakeup.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, screen technology has fallen behind home video technology for the first time in history. And, you know, I for one, really enjoy the ability to pause a movie, especially a movie I've never seen before. Yeah, so. I don't know. I think much like when iTunes came along and changed the music industry, right? No more was it about putting out albums. It was about putting out good songs is what the movie industry has turned into. And YouTube has taken that to another level. But, I mean, you had bands that were like, oh, no, it has to stay the same. It has to do this. It has to do that. You have to put out albums. And those bands were called Metallica because they would get away with putting one, maybe two good songs on an album and then filling the rest of it with garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And expecting these kids to go out and spend $16 to $20 every year that a new album came out. You know, it, like, albums back in the day, like, back in the day, like when it, like every song told a story, that was one thing. But the movie or music industry got greedy. The movie industry has been notoriously greedy. The way they prices go up and up, and they show commercials in movies now, like, you know, before the movie starts,
right.
You know, concessions go up and up. Now I will say, like, for the $475,000.32 that you spend on a small tub of popcorn, I mean, it is the size of a Tonka truck, like a big Tonka truck. So, you know, you're definitely getting what you pay for as long as it's not stale. But, you know, I shouldn't have to, like the old David Spade's bit about, I shouldn't have to take out financial aid to get a snack at the movies.
Right.
So
yeah, I'm really interested to see if Hollywood wakes up. And because, you know, you still have the tentpole movies that are always going to do well. You have people like me and you that are going to see those movies. But the other movies, and again, not all the tentpole movies do well.
But it makes those tentpole movies more special.
Right. Absolutely. Like, I was just thinking about this, like, seeing Infinity War or Endgame for the first time in my home. And it just wouldn't have been as special to me seeing it with a bunch of people that were just as excited, just as heartbroken, just as, you know, raucous as I was.
So here's an example. Like, I watched Harley Quinn and Birds of Prey on the 4K TV.
Mm-hmm.
Great. It looked awesome. It was a very fun movie. I really enjoyed it up until the last half hour. It suffered from the same thing all DC movies suffer from, is a horrible third act. The Way Back, on the other hand, I actually watched that on my tablet. And it was a great, I had just as an in-depth experience with it. I sat in the gray chair here in the Nerd Den studio, and I had the tablet up on the desk and was just sitting there and I enjoyed the hell out of it. And it's a great movie. Ben Affleck puts in an amazing performance. It's, you know, Hoosiers-like, which is a good thing, you know? But with a movie like this, or a movie like these two, it's time to change. It's time to don't blow up the system, but it's time to reboot the system and delete some of those programs that don't work anymore.
Sounds a little bit like Westworld.
Well, I figured that would be a really good segue. Because when we were talking about everybody getting sick and like the cure being worse than the disease, you know, we could all just become hosts.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Okay. So just real quick, the absence of Field. Third episode. You haven't been as invested into Westworld as I have at this point. Did that change tonight or on Sunday night?
I think because of Aaron Paul, it did.
He is so good. Caleb is so awesome.
His performance was exceptional. And his story and what we find out about what's going on with him.
Well, and his mom and yeah.
Man, because it was bad enough when, you know, we find out in episode one that he's talking to the AI. And he, I mean, he asks the questions like, no offense, but are you even human?
Right. Oh, yeah. And from the job interview. Yeah.
Right. And also with, you know, his friend, like that voicemail or that message that he kept listening to or talking.
Well, it was an online therapist that was the voice of his friend.
Yeah, that therapist. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then you get – and how far do we want to go in spoilers?
We can – I think, you know, it's been – when this comes out, it have been a week. People who are going to watch it and have watched it. I don't feel like this is a show that you can just binge. Like, you need time to let things sink in. And you really need to watch things a couple times to pick
things
up.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I haven't watched this a second time. No, actually, I watched part of it a second time.
Yeah.
But – man, his story, I am definitely invested in him. Seeing the Charlotte arc as well, because, again, we were talking before we started the show, who is the host and who's Charlotte? Who is this Charlotte? Who is this host?
Right. So, and I was telling you, so on Reddit, what's it? Chimerain, Chimerian, the user on Reddit, if you go to r/Westworld and then go into the discussion for the midweek episode discussion for Absence of Field, has a 5 or 6 paragraph theory on who Charlotte is and who Dolores is. And it is eye-opening. You know, it's the whole idea that, you know, Dolores was always two people in one body. She was always Wyatt and she was always Dolores Abernathy. And the Dolores running around collecting money and making new hosts and doing everything is like, this person is conjecturing that it's the Wyatt character. And then Charlotte is the Dolores Abernathy, because who else does she trust but herself? She didn't have a posse of cohorts, or she didn't have a cohort like Maeve did, right?
Right.
And, you know, Teddy went to the Valley Beyond. Maybe. Like Teddy was her guy. So yeah. I don't know. It's really interesting. The Charlotte Hill backstory that we got was a little heartbreaking with the kid and the message that she left. And then it turns out, like, when the one computer tech who was on Raising Hope found that someone was uploading data, it turns out Charlotte Hale is the mole. You know,
right.
that was a seed planted all the way back in season one that they paid off this week, which is great. But now there's a whole bunch of more questions, right? Like Sarek, like, or Sarek, however you say it. Is he even real? Is he just is he a fake person? Is he in a simulation?
Is he part of the AI?
Yeah. Is he part of Rehobalem, or however you say it? You know, I didn't even catch the biblical implications to that, about what Rehobalem is, you know? Or the name, or where that came from. So yeah, it's so crazy.
Yeah, there are so many, but just and one of the things I don't try to like think about too far ahead with this show, because I just like to,
yeah,
for lack of a better, marinate with it.
I like the journey. I really like the journey with this show.
Yeah, and so to answer your question, the first two episodes, don't get me wrong, I liked them. I thought they were well done, extremely well shot.
Mm-hmm.
And that hasn't changed, that especially like the, but like from an emotional standpoint, I got a lot more invested from Charlotte's journey and who mm-hmm. she is, and man, that scene at, you know, in the park
with the pedo.
Yeah. And
did you think she was going to go all the way and kill him?
I actually wasn't sure.
I thought they did a really great job building that tension. Like, will she kill him or won't she?
That was amazing. That part, that scene, that entire scene, and how she just the way you saw when she, in her eyes how that switch flipped when mm-hmm. she saw the guy's hand on the boy's hand.
Yeah.
It just flipped.
And we got our boy Michael Early showing up in the episode. That was awesome. I always like seeing him show up in things.
And, but again.
Yeah, she just flipped that switch. Yeah. Oh, Aaron Paul, dude. Like, the whole thing in the diner when she's like, this is your favorite place. This is your favorite meal. And, like, it is AI to a T, right? It doesn't mm-hmm. understand context. And it doesn't understand why a strawberry shake would be the worst possible thing to give this guy.
Yeah. And I love when she was like, I know you're angry. He's like, I'm not angry. Yeah. I'm enraged.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, I don't know. I think Aaron Paul is such a good actor, right? And he mm-hmm. does, he's so picky about the things that he does. Like, I really think the only thing he's ever really done for a paycheck was Need for Speed.
I don't think I've seen that one. I know what you're talking about.
It's him and I think Imogen Poots and Michael Keaton. It's not horrible, you know. It's a movie based off a video game.
Right. Yeah.
He did a really good one called The Long Way Down. It was him and Toni Collette and Pierce Brosnan and Imogen Poots about four people who were going to kill themselves. And they were all going to jump off the same roof, but they didn't know each other until they all showed up to jump off the same roof. And then they all kind of save each other. And it's a beautiful movie, and it's very British, and he's American. Like, you know, he doesn't do a fake British accent or anything. But, yeah, it was a really good movie. And like, it came out around the time of when Breaking Bad was at its height. It was, like, one of the things he did during hiatus. And it made me enjoy Jesse Pinkman that much more. And I think this time we're seeing a different side of Aaron Paul's acting that is terrifyingly beautiful.
Yeah, that it's just, and then on the pier when she was when she told him, you know, you're going to commit suicide in 10 to 12 years at this pier. And he was like, no, I'm not. And she said, so you haven't come here at night, you haven't thought about it.
Right.
And then she showed him the file and then he just shut up.
Yeah. Do you think he's a host?
I don't think so. I don't know. I hope not, honestly, because there's something about him being a person and willfully bringing himself into this conflict.
Yeah.
Which I think it would be undermined a little bit, even though he has free will, even if he's a host, he does have free will. And if he doesn't know he's a host, right. I understand that.
Right.
But there's something that speaks to me of him being human.
So and when I hope and he's him, human because I identify with siding with robots over the meat.
We've had this talk before.
Yeah, we talk about this all the time. This stupid meat bags are all going down. I mean, I will infiltrate and do whatever the robots need to Thanos the hell out of this world.
Yeah, so I really hope so.
Because I like how everybody laughs like they think I'm kidding.
But I really hope he is human. Yeah. I don't have any reason to believe he's not.
Yeah, I don't know. There's people out there who think he isn't human because he talked about getting shot in the head, and he's really one of the few with flashbacks this season. And yeah, I don't know. But man, let's pour one out for poor George, man. That he came up to try and help his buddy there and you know took that swan dive off the skyscraper.
Oh, I know.
For his effort.
Yeah, that was poor guy.
Yeah.
Poor bot.
What about the little like adrenaline enhancer that he had in the roof of his mouth there that looked like some pretty serious bridge work?
Yeah.
You know, like, and them turning it up all the way to bring on the symptoms of a heart attack. I mean, like, this is the best episode of the season.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
This is up there with, some of the best stuff from like Shogun World last season, which I thought was really strong, a really strong part of season two. So
I think Shogun World was my favorite part of last season.
Yeah.
Like just that entire arc.
I guess Maeve's arc is probably my favorite part of the show. I like Bernard, but I'm really enjoying this, especially if he is actually human and which I hope he is. And if he can buy into Dolores's vision of the future, it'll be really interesting to see a future he helps make.
And speaking of Dolores, with her, the stuff she talked about, how she says they're watching us, they're doing this, they're doing that. It's not too far from some of the stuff, some of the stuff with our phones, with our smartphones, with our tablets, with our echoes and stuff listening. And
oh yeah,
it's just that next leap. And if you had an AI like
Rohirrim,
I know people are laughing like, learn how to pronounce the damn thing.
No, I don't want to. No, thank you. I'm gonna call it the big red alias ball. How about that?
But you have that. And oh, did you say the big red alias ball?
Uh-huh.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
oh,
I went there.
Gosh.
I went there. I will say this. Jonathan Nolan is the superior Nolan.
Oh, he's the brother of
Yeah, and Lisa Joy, like, so Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy are a married couple, and they are the showrunners of the show, and they are fantastic storytellers. They do a great job understanding space and time and story and structure that I think, Christopher Nolan struggles with from time to time. But it's why when he makes a movie like Inception, it works. When he makes a movie like The Dark Knight Rises, I want to blow my brains out rather than finish watching it.
Yeah. Yeah. I forgot they're brothers.
Yeah.
This you're right. This episode locked me in to being invested in and not just going along for the ride, enjoying the ride. It's more, I'm more invested now, not just with Aaron Paul's character, but also with Charlotte, which, by the way, when her son said, "You're not my mother."
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
Yep. It's pretty cool. So.
But yeah, definitely the best episode of the season, and I'm finally invested in more than just the spectacle and the journey.
Okay.
I'm invested in at least two of the characters,
and I'm excited. Well, and Maeve, you're invested in Maeve.
Yeah, well,
too,
three. Because, yeah, and yeah. I was about to say four because Bernard is. I'm really interested. I love Jeffrey Wright.
Oh yeah, Jeffrey Wright is amazing.
Yeah,
and he's like got whichever Hemsworth brother. Luke Hemsworth is with him, and. And yeah, I mean, like, I'm interested to see their journey and that sort of thing. Like, I thought it was a little cheap that Luke Hemsworth's character ended up being a host. But then at the same time, it's like, okay, cool. We have just some more familiar faces, and I like that. Mm-hmm. So go ahead.
And that makes more sense, his character being the host, than it would Aaron Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he was the director, he's a security guy at the park.
Yeah.
That would make more sense, him being a host, than a guy that – is out in the world. So, but I understand what you're saying too.
Okay. So, definitely this was a great episode and I'm super excited to see what happens. So speaking of a guy who's just kind of out in the world, how about Joe Exotic?
I'm going to paraphrase what I said to, this group text I'm on with some of my buddies. I'm one of those people. I don't when a sensation comes on, whether it be Love is Blind or something like The Bachelor, some of those shows, some of the crazy shows that people just yeah. flock to and watch and talk about on social media and all that. You have to watch this. You have to watch it. Like Game of Thrones, for example, I was into the books a couple years before the show actually premiered.
Right.
Now, and I'm not saying, you know, I have a problem with people that, you know, get on the bandwagon, but I usually don't, and I'll let it settle. Good example is Breaking Bad. Yeah. I haven't watched Breaking Bad yet, like speaking of Aaron Paul.
So I didn't like Breaking Bad at first, right? It took me three tries to get into Breaking Bad, and it wasn't until Giancarlo Esposito showed up that I really got into the show.
Gustavo?
Yep, Gus Fring. So Game of Thrones is a really good example. I did not watch the first season live. I read the first three books before I watched a single frame of the show. Mm-hmm. But I did not read the books until the first season came out. So, you know, like, I get it, like, not wanting to hop on the hype. But, you know, we're in a time where Tiger King Murder, Mayhem, and Madness was the ideal distraction.
And that's perfectly the point. And that's why I just said, like, this past weekend, I said, you know what? Screw it. Let me just check this out. And it wasn't a train wreck. It was just like, you know, the train wrecked.
This is an asteroid hitting a planet. Yeah. This is an extinction level event, right?
Armageddon.
No, this is
their mission.
This is Deep Impact. It splits in two, and you have Joe Exotic and Carol Baskin as the two asteroids that hit the planet. Wow. I keep saying I'm really excited to have learned about this particular underbelly of America. Like, I'm so happy all of these people exist and get to have their own little drama in real life unfold in real time. And the memes are great.
the funny thing about that is if somebody came, you know, hey, I want to do a treatment for a TV show. It's about this crazy guy in Oklahoma that has this, you know, big cat sanctuary.
Yeah, he's got like 200 and something cats. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's at war with this soft spoken woman in Florida whose husband 20 years ago, millionaire husband, just disappeared off the face of the earth.
Under suspicious circumstances.
Yeah. They would be like, and they would talk about details, and you're like,
and she totally, totally fed Don Lewis to her tigers. She totally did.
But some of the looks.
Like, oh, yeah.
Like, looking in her eyes, there's just something off. And I don't mean off in, like, a cat lady.
Right.
I'm a cat lady off type of way. There's something off and disturbing. And Joe is just – he is just,
yeah.
I don't even know what to say about him.
So the thing about Carol is the one point where they're asking, and she's like, I didn't feed him to a tiger. And then essentially, like – winks at the camera, you know, like that big deep like looks in, breaks the fourth wall, like wah. And it's like, oh, okay, you're in on this joke too, I get it now. But yeah, no, but the main character person of this docuseries is this dude named Joe Exotic, Joe Svengali or something, I forget.
I don't even know how to pronounce
Who is a homosexual big cat collecting
gun
redneck
potent
gun nut with the voice of an angel. You know,
yeah, his singing, good grief.
Like, the Hear Kitty Kitty song has been playing on a loop on YouTube in this house since we heard it. And I think there was a point where he truly cared for those animals, right?
Well,
and then
it
turned into money.
Well, see, and that's what I kind of wish they would have showed a little bit more of that part of him in the beginning instead of at the very end.
Yeah.
And they gave it only like, and I know why from a structural standpoint. I understand that.
So what they did with each of the people, right, is they showed you something that made you like them right off the bat. And then they tore them down. And then at the end, they tried to build Joe back up a little bit because he was so dumb that he got arrested for a murder for hire beef.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, a lot of the stuff he did, like, he has, like they say, you have no one to blame but yourself. He does, but he totally screwed, I think.
He, as the kids say, he got.
Yeah.
So, by that Jeff Lowe dude.
Yeah. And to your point, like, he has such a, one of those gregarious magnetic personalities when you first meet the guy. It's just like, wow, he's like very energetic. I will say this, the first 10 seconds of Carol being on screen, I did not like her.
Oh, she creeped me out. She creeped me out. So did Doc Antle, Bagavon.
Yeah.
You know his real name is Kevin?
Kevin,
yeah, the Doc Antle guy.
Yeah.
Who had the harem of women.
Yeah.
His real name is Kevin, and he goes by Bagavon.
Yeah. I forgot it. Yeah, it is Kevin.
Anyway, I found that out while I was doing all this stuff. Yeah, so we have a mutual friend, I'm not going to say her name, who has been to his place, has been to the Tim Wood in Illinois place, and got bit by a tiger there. And I know two other people who have said they've been to the Big Cat Rescue from Carol Baskin, and they said, like, it was just sad. Like, the way Joe explained it and described it, how it's, like, overgrown weeds and small cages and things like that, that's really what it's like there.
And you know, when we're talking about Joe being dumb, how about the people that just work for free for Carol and just almost basically worship her?
For years.
Not getting paid a dime to do what they do. And the funny thing is, she's doing the exact same thing that she's castigating Joe for. Like the lack of
self-awareness.
I mean, first of all, both these people, like,
none of them have any self-awareness. So
yeah, the lack of self-awareness on both of these people, it was mind-boggling. It's actually, when I listen to some politicians sometimes, I'm thinking, like, do you not hear what you just said like a week ago?
So I don't know about you, but for the 2020 election, I'm definitely writing in Joe Exotic.
in the jail cell.
Yeah. Let's get him pardoned. Let's get him in the White House. He's got ideas, you know.
But your point was exactly right when you said how he came into it from a standpoint of really caring about these animals.
And I think probably all of them did in their own way.
Yeah.
I have so many more questions. I know they're talking about doing like another series, but like they shot this docuseries over 7 years. And the only reason they got to this version was by accident, because they were out at Tim Wood's place doing something. And then it's like, wait, why do you have all these tigers? Oh, well, what do you mean there's a guy in Oklahoma with a whole bunch of tigers? What do you mean there's a guy in Oklahoma with a whole bunch of tigers who's gay in a thruple and has, you know, walks around with guns? There's a YouTube channel about it? Well, now I have to, like, that. It's literally like, it's like you can't make this stuff up, which is the beauty of it. But yeah, dude, it's just. So I watched the first three episodes, like one, I guess, like Friday into Saturday night, or maybe Saturday into Sunday. And I told Angel, I was like, hey, you have to watch this. So I went back and started over with her, and she's already watched it a second time. You know, so, yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, everyone's talking about this show and the memes and things on Facebook and Twitter and Reddit are just like the best distraction we could possibly ask for right now. But it's a dark story.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, to your point, it really is, because the one thing, you know, there are a couple of people I know that are animal lovers, and I love animals too. And they said, you know, I've heard about it, I don't want to watch it, because they're thinking you're going to see these animals get beaten and all that. And it's not that, but it's like, I'm looking at it from the human perspective of these people like losing themselves. And again, you know, in sports, you see it sometimes when people, you know, start playing for the money and they lose the love of the game, and just they lose themselves in, you know, in their own hubris. They lose themselves in, you know, the worshiping of money, and just the hatred that Joe and Carol had for each other is, I mean, I'm understating it when I say that's not healthy.
No, it's not. It's not healthy for anyone. Like, and you know, I think the interesting thing is of the three main people with Joe and Carol and Doc, they all had their own little cults, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I thought like with Doc, like he was just looking to get laid. He was using baby tigers to have marginally attractive girls show up, and then he was surgically enhanced them to fit the ideal that he wanted in a woman.
And with, change their names.
Right, and change their names. With Carol, you know, she's got her little cult. I think it's really interesting that the first year people all wear red shirts because they're totally expendable.
I laughed at that out loud, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, and then you had Joe who, like, he tried to help, like, ex-cons and yeah. and the worst possible people, like, and he tried to, like, give them something to care about. And, you know, you had the Renki guy who was his head zookeeper who lost his legs due to a ziplining accident.
Yeah, how random
not
is that?
Tigers, which is what you would think. And his legs were fantastic with this creepy-ass clowns things. On there. He was the person I felt most sorry for.
And this is, I have a question. And again, talking about how Joe got screwed. And again, a lot of what Joe did, you know, you have no one but yourself to blame. However, at the trial, they don't talk to Renki at
right.
all.
No, not at all.
Despite him being there for what, 14 years or something?
Yeah, he was there through all of it. I don't think Joe Exotic was smart enough to try and pay someone to kill someone, especially the guy that they're saying he tried to kill. He talked about how much
dude
he hated
dumb,
that
dude. Dumb with a box of rocks.
Yeah, but like Joe hated that Allen guy who they said, yeah. And why isn't he in jail for accepting money to kill someone?
Yeah, that makes no sense to me. That was one of those things that, you know, when you think about the justice system. And I don't want to get too far down a rabbit hole, yeah. But examples like that where it's like, how do you miss these things?
So, yeah, I feel like kind of like Making a Murderer, where they just kind of conveniently were like, okay, we're just gonna, like, this guy did it. Wynwood, right. Oklahoma, were like, well, we really don't want this zoo here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get rid of it. And, you know, let's just kind of throw this problem child in the clink for a while. But yeah, it's so interesting. Like, I do hope they revisit this as a series. I know I did not watch the second series of Making a Murderer, because they rushed it out so fast. The first series is, it's, so I find, so, you know, HBO does documentaries and docuseries, and Netflix is doing documentaries and docuseries. And I find the Netflix ones tend to be a little more one-sided. I don't think this is the case with this one, but, like, we watched the McMillions docuseries on HBO. And it was fantastic about the people who were stealing the Monopoly pieces to hook people up with million-dollar tickets and then screwing them out of the money.
I heard that was pretty good.
It was really good.
Check that out.
And the FBI guy that was in charge of it, whose name is totally slipping my mind right now, like, I just want him to be in every docuseries about the FBI because he was a character and a half. I just think, I don't know. I found this very interesting. And like, I joke that I'm really happy this, like, underbelly of America exists. But at the same time, it's like, it's just such an interesting cross section of people who have the same hobby, who hate each other.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
And what?
Oh, I was going to say, we'll do whatever they can to screw each other. So,
yeah. And to your point, all three of them, they were just cults by just under different, a different leader.
Yeah.
Although I will say, from Joe's, and again, we saw more of Joe's, the people that worked with him, because I think they really did care about the animals.
All of his people cared about the animals. I mean, you had the lady who got her arm bitten off.
Yeah, Safi.
Yeah, Saf.
What?
It was Saf.
Saf?
Yeah.
Who came back 5 days after getting her arm amputated.
Yeah, she was just like, take the arm. She Ronnie Lotted that bitch. Right? Like, that's all I could think of is, she is tough. But yeah.
And then, you said, Rinky, he was, he was there for, I can't remember how long.
14 years. He was there for 14 years.
14 years. Yeah. And then what was the other guy's name?
Oh, the dude who was smoking, filling up the gas cans. The head of maintenance guy there, the original guy. Yeah. I think his name was Joe. Yeah. But then, but Joe's husbands and that whole thing, who,
Oh, my goodness.
It's like the whole Aaron Hernandez thing. They're gay, but they're not gay.
Yeah.
It's just it is a like I said, it's a fantastic little slice of Americana.
Yeah, and like you said, the underbelly.
Yeah, the underbelly of America. So that desperately needs to be petted and cleaned and showered and disinfected. So I don't know. I thought the one of my big takeaways is that I could have paid a little bit more than I paid for my dog and gotten a baby tiger.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm in double, but still, you can get a baby tiger for $2,000. I bet I could probably get one for less from someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just it's so easy to get these animals and
And you know what's funny? It actually made me think of, I think, what was it? Naomi? Was that her name? Ezekiel's tiger in Walking Dead. What was her name?
Oh, I don't remember. I stopped watching Walking Dead.
But it actually made me, I've actually gone back to start right back to that season 7, kind of just here and there watching it. But just because of the tiger thing.
Yeah.
Which I would love to have a tiger. I absolutely would love to have a tiger.
You have one. It's a tiny little tiger named Cooper.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He has a tiger instinct sometimes.
Yeah.
I have scars to prove it.
All right. So if you're one of the three people in America who haven't seen Tiger King, you definitely need to check it out. It's still number one on
Netflix.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So... it's just I know we got a little heavy there at the beginning. This is the perfect thing to take your mind off of everything and being a weekend and whatnot, it's worth just escaping through.
Mm-hmm. And again, they don't look for animal people. They don't show animals getting beaten and abused and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, there are things that happen, but it's not from a torturous standpoint. It's still not good.
You never see anyone hit or kill an animal. They allude to it happening and tigers being euthanized and things like that. But
I mean, and they're in the cages petting and rolling around with the tigers like people roll around with their dogs.
Yeah. Yep. So. All right. Well, where can people find you online, Daryl?
Still no Matt. I'm still kind of making moves, trying to figure things out. Like I said, with the way things are going in the economy and, certain site I was working for, kind of.
Oh, yeah. Sciencefiction.com. Put things on hold. So.
Yeah. So hopefully in the near future, things will change for me. But I mean, I'm not really on Twitter. Right now, it's pretty much this. I'm looking at a couple other things, though, but. Right now, that's why I call myself a nomad. Call myself a Ronin.
You are a social media agnostic.
Yeah, I'm on Instagram under DJasper07.
Yeah, you've been liking stuff more. I've noticed so, but a little more active.
The only thing I usually post are pictures of my cat. So.
Hey, people like that. So people love cat pictures. So ladies, he's single. So. Hey, more than half of our audience is women. So anyway, well, cool. All right. So you can find me on most social networks at Brian Tudor, infamouspodcast.com. You can subscribe on Spotify, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Google, Stitcher, Overcast, wherever. Yeah. Like I said at the beginning of the show, check out our Patreon. You know, a little help, backing would help bring the show up to a little more, better production value, better stories, maybe some travel when that opens back up. But, yeah, that's patreon.com/infamouspodcast. Yeah. So if you like what you hear, and your podcast platform of choice gives you the chance to leave a review, a 5-star review is always welcome. If you have a friend who likes this kind of stuff and doesn't listen, grab their phone, open up Spotify, subscribe to our show so that they can get notified on Sundays about new shows. And yeah. All right. Any last words?
Stay safe, people. And, you know, use this time wisely with your folks, with your family, and, you know, watch some crazy stuff like Tiger King.
Yeah, and get outside.
Yeah, get out. Yeah, especially when it's getting nicer. Get outside, walk around. You'll thank me for it.
I have almost 70 miles on the one wheel.
Man, in what, a week?
A week and a half. And I have like 180 miles on the electric skateboard in 4 years. So,
man,
I love it so much. Anyway, all right, guys, on that note, whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whatever it is, and we'll talk to you next time. Later.
See you.